sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Is that how we enter the day of decadence? With me, it's me, it's Mr. FSB. I'm here to do what I do, because I do it for you all day, every day, because I can. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up right now, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, here is a heads up. Mr. FSP will not be here next week. So what does that mean? That means that you just might be stuck with the old, decrepit, senile, evil man who I call my good friend, JT, ATM Money. What's going on, JT?
Nice backhanded slap before you want me to bail you out next week, but that's okay. That's okay. That, you know what they made a song like that. That's what friends are for, but that's okay.
In good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore.
But you know what you got to do, right?
I know what I got to do. I got to
tell you. Let me see. Who says this? Does Chris Carter say it? Pay the man? Or does that, I'm trying to think who says that.
You. It's you. Only you. No one else. Anyway.
How you be, man? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, I know. I've been really super busy, and I got some stuff I got to do. Matter of fact, I will be at the Warriors basketball game tonight at against the Lakers. I'll be holding the flag. Myself and several of my coworkers will be dressed in our ASUs, our blues, holding
really?
The American flag. Yes, I'm doing it again. So, in good times and bad times, I'll be doing stuff like that.
When's the game start? Because maybe they'll have it on TV. I don't know.
It should be on TV. It starts at 7 p.m. this time, I mean our time, so it should be 10 p.m. your time.
Okay. All right.
Now, whether or not they show it, they should show the flag ceremony because it's the opening game. Normally they don't, you know, on regular shows, but on regular viewing. But I'm thinking, you know, it's the opening of the season for them. So
it's the opening game at for the Lakers?
Opening home game for the Warriors.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking you're at South Jersey. Yes, okay. Really? Okay. I'll be looking out for you, see if I can see somebody with a dumb look on their face holding the flag.
Really? 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 And you know what? I done spent money to make a quality commercial for you, and that's how you treat me. That's
yeah, but you never sent me. You never sent it to me. You had to email it to me.
I'm sending it to you right now. I'm sending you both yours and Lance's. There are three versions for Lance, but we're going to choose one. But anyway,
wait. Time out. You know what I'm going to say, right? Time out.
Yeah.
Maybe this should be a conversation off the air, but I'm going to make it on the air. Now, I've been with you since the inception of your first show.
Yes.
Up until now,
yes.
I branched out, and we created two other shows, basically
yes.
Three other shows, okay? And you're I guess he's your main guy now. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting.
Are we getting jealous?
Excuse me?
No. I said no. Are we getting jealous? No. The individual I hired to do the commercials provided me three versions. Yours was perfect the way I thought it was perfect on the first version, so I said, you know, we'll go with that. And
okay.
That was it. So, you know,
I feel better about
yours,
that now.
Yours was the first one done. And the first one I had created and thought about. Does that make you feel any better?
I feel a little bit better. You smoothed it over, made me feel warm and fuzzy now. I appreciate that.
Such a loser, dude.
Vic, you know, I'm pretty much of a appeasing guy, but I still have an ego. So, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm telling you, I still have an ego. So,
we know. But ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to cover today, so I don't want
okay.
to get too deep into this. But right now, my man, my ace, JTATM Money, what we're going to do today, we're going to give you the fantasy information that you need for betting and the outlook for Week 9 in the NFL. Six teams are on bye week, so that's three games we're not going to cover. But some of those teams that are on bye, we really need some of their players because a lot of big-name players are banged up.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people sitting this week, so we're going to get into that. We're going to hear from Mike Tomlin and Joe Flacco as the Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Baltimore Ravens at Heinz Field. The two had interesting things to say. Also, we're going to hear from Kobe Bryant. Two games into the season, is Kobe Bryant calling out the Los Angeles Lakers two games into the season? They've lost two straight games. Last night they lost to the Clippers 118-110. And Kobe had something to say about it. Also, now, ladies and gentlemen, I play FanDuel. I play DraftKings. I also do regular fantasy football. And one guy that's scaring me and scared a lot of people last night was Derrick Rose. Can the man stay healthy? We're going to hear from Derrick Rose. We're going to hear from Derrick Rose and figure out why he tried to play yesterday after he got rolled his ankle and how quiet Chicago Bulls Stadium got when he rolled his ankle. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So let's get right into it. Matter of fact, since we're on that topic, you know, JT, you made a comment. You don't think Derrick Rose can stay healthy?
Nope.
Let's hear from Derrick real quick, as soon as I find it, and hear what he has to say, and then we'll let JT, of course, jump in here and give his two cents.
I heard it. I think in the first half, and tried to give a go in the second half. Played I think my minutes in the third, and I saw that. It kind of limited me a little bit, shooting jump shots and wasn't able to get the bounce that I wanted.
So, JT, he's limited. He didn't do a good job. Well, he did a decent job. You know, he got injured. He tried to come back. He tried to do some things. But tell me, is Derrick Rose destined to only play 25, 30 games this season? And if so, how does that ultimately affect the Chicago Bulls and their chances at what they have built with Paul Gasol?
Well. Since Derrick Rose has won the MVP a few years back, every year, even twice a year, he gets hurt. The brand of basketball he plays, it was just kind of like a Allen Iverson type of play, which is pretty, I wouldn't say reckless, but it's pretty helter-skelter and has a tendency to put a lot of wear on your body and high impact on your legs, ankles, knees, lower part of your body. And apparently, it's obvious that he's not built like that. And he's not going to change his game because that's all he knows. So history tells us with him that he's going to sustain some type of lower body injury, lower leg injury, knee and on down, because the way he plays his brand of basketball. That's obvious. It's happened over like the last two seasons, and this is the third that he's probably going to, besides this ankle, he's probably going to sustain some type of other injury to keep him out a few games. Or maybe, and I'm just knocking on wood for him, that he doesn't do what he's done in the last two seasons and done something to a knee that causes him to lose substantial time or the rest of the season, whatever that may be. But, yes, history tells us last 2 years, going on to the third year, that he's injury prone. So you may have seen the best of Derrick Rose when he was the MVP of the league, because he hasn't been able to stay healthy since then.
Now, JT, I know a lot of Chicago Bulls listeners out there might disagree with you, but I think you're absolutely right on that. I think you're absolutely right that he's not going to be the same player that everybody once thought he was, and his lift is there, but he's fragile, very fragile. I'm not sure how else to say it, but he's walking a very thin line between being a bust or a player that had a lot of potential but just couldn't get it done. And I venture to say that Allen Iverson is pretty much that type of player. Allen Iverson, you know, he was gifted, all get-out gifted, but because of his character issues and stuff like that, he was never able to sustain the star power and ability on the court. Because once he, you know, hit 31, 32, whatever the case may be, and his body really broke down, he became like a third stringer or even a D-leaguer. So would you say that possibly if Derrick Rose's body continues to give out on him, that he might even become a third stringer or D-league type player?
I don't know about a third stringer, but I would say if he can't get over these injuries, his NBA career will not last that long. Let me put it that way. Because the fact is, it seems like no matter what he does, no matter how much time he took off to heal up, he's always getting nicked up in one way or the other. So this may be a minor thing. If it twists an ankle, fine. But how long is it going to take for him to get back? And how well is he going to play when he does get back? And just like the past years, the coach and the upper management of the Chicago Bulls are going to be holding their breath every time he goes on the court, and every time he goes up in the lane for a layup or whatever, because the fact is they don't know when the next injury is going to come. And it's going to come, in my opinion, it's going to come, because he's Derrick Rose, and this is what it's been for the last two years, 3 years, whatever.
Okay. Well, let's move on, because I think, you know, time will tell. He did come back to play. His body is a little fragile, just a little bit. I just sent a tweet out there to the Twitter world asking, was he too fragile or physically weak to play in the NBA? So we'll see. Well, let's move on to Kobe. Now, again, as I stated earlier on in the show, after a 118-110 loss to the Clippers at the Staples Center, which is pretty much the Clippers' home now, and, you know, La La Land is no longer Laker Land, is it time for Kobe and the Lakers to fold up two games into the season? Well, Kobe says there are no punks. There are no punks in on this team. This is what Kobe has to say.
I don't want chumps. I don't want pushovers. And if you're a chump and you're a pushover, I will run over you. right? And so it's important for him to have that toughness and to say, no, I believe in myself. You know, I can step up, I can make these plays, I can perform. And I think that is very, very important.
Jerry, did you hear what I heard? I mean, let's see if we're on the same page. Is Cody saying that his teammates don't have that mentality or that ability, and it's important for him to make sure that he finds out now? What did you hear from that soundbite?
Yeah, I think he called out his players. Two games into the season, he's calling out his team. That doesn't endear. It wouldn't be endearing to me if I was a teammate. And we just got over. I don't know about getting over, but and I forget who made the statement, but Jeannie Buss refuted it that nobody wants to come here to play with Kobe. That may be something to think about. Why Gasol finally left. And there's no other big-name players that signed in the offseason. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think the dude is he's a great talent. I still think he's the best player in the NBA, even though LeBron has proven that he's very, very, very formidable. But for me, he's LeBron, that isn't the same leader as Kobe is. And yes, sometimes as a leader, you got to make these types of comments. I think that Mr. Buss is living in a world where he doesn't see what his star player is doing. And again, Jerry, like we both said, I believe he called out his teammates. There's no buts about it, in my opinion. And if that's a mentality, I can understand why a player such as Dwight Howard didn't want to be here. You know, even when they were in their little situation where they were, you know, drawing back and forth, Kobe was calling them soft, calling them weak, and stuff like that. And the cameras caught him saying that. So, and after last night with the comment he made, is that how he feels about people that come to play for the Lakers? And is that something that shies people away from him? Would he have done that to Chris Paul? Had Chris Paul trade from the Pelicans to the Lakers ever gone through? I don't know. I really don't know, JT. I think that Kobe is a very talented player, but Kobe also expects a lot from his teammates. He is a Michael Jordan. He is the alpha male. You know, Michael Jordan didn't have all this social media when he was with the Bulls, and he had Scottie Pippen, and, you know, when he knocked out Steve Kerr and gave Steve Kerr the black eye, and he smacked B.J. Armstrong and all these other people in practice, social media wasn't that hype. But believe you me, he did that stuff, and people talked about it. So I guess his attitude is not conducive to the new age NBA player. And, yes, it could be a detriment to the Lakers building their franchise. I mean, what do you have to say about what I just said before we kill this subject matter?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
I said, what do you think about what my comments were?
Well, I think this way. Kobe Bryant is a me first guy. High basketball IQ, high basketball ability, even though he's older now. And he expects everyone to be that way, a la Michael Jordan. It ain't going to work that way. The talent around him has decreased for quite a while, and the Lakers are not a good team. And I don't know what he expects from what he got, especially with the man who's ahead of it that's got a huge ego and quite naturally, in my opinion, doesn't know what the heck he's doing. Me talking about Buss, Jim Buss, this is what he gets. This is what he's going to get. This team is not going to get that much better going through the season. So he's just going to have to be a superstar struggling on a bad team.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we've tipped the iceberg of basketball in the NBA. I think it's going to be a very interesting season. I really think so. But with that being said, we're going to transition right over to our great, great sport of football. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to let you hear the latest and greatest from Jerry's master plan. And let's have a little fun. JT, this is for you, my friend.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and of course my co-host couldn't help but chuckle. I want to know why he's chuckling, but it is what it is. Talk to you, JT.
Oh, man, I'm impressed. I like that commercial. I take back all the negativity that first gave you in the beginning of the show. I really like that commercial. You're right. That was a one and done.
Yes. I'm trying to get Lance's loaded now. And see, I don't spend much money, but when I do, I look for quality. But anyway. It's the new Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with JJ Team Money, along with Lance, the NFL Explorer Goodman. As we all love the show, we give as much information as possible on that program. We're back. It's time to get into the nitty gritty. Let's talk about the first game of Sunday, and that happens to be Jacksonville at Cincinnati. JT. Cincinnati's hurting right now. They are hurting big time. So with that being said, I'm going to take Jacksonville, and I'm going to give you Cincinnati. Because I know there's some gems in there, and we know you don't like to share them on this show. You like to share them on the Master Plan. I'll go ahead and let you give some today. But right now, Jacksonville, they're coming off of a loss, but at the same time, they have a bunch of young, talented players playing on this team. What you've got is Allen Robinson, Denard Robinson, not a rookie, Allen Hurns, and Blake Bortles, showing this team how to win and how to be competitive. Now, do I think they're going to beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati? No, I do not. However, if I'm looking for fantasy advice, I'm giving you fantasy information, I'm going to tell you, Vontaze Buford's out at linebacker. Emmanuel, who was Buford's replacement, is out. I'm not sure who Cincinnati has replacing these guys in their in their linebacking court. But I can tell you this, that linebacker court is decimated. Pac-Man Jones, Newsom, and some other players on that defense of Cincinnati will be challenged in this game. This is a game, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, I'm telling you, I know Cincinnati was ranked number two defensively, but this is a game you play Blake Bortles. You're in a bye week. If you have a quarterback such as Aaron Rodgers, like I do, who's on a bye week, who's used to giving you like 60 points in a PPR or in a high-scoring league, Blake Bortles will have his opportunity to do so in this game. I look for him to get at least two touchdown passes and maybe one touchdown run. The reason why I say this is because that Cincinnati defense is depleted and their offense is depleted. We're going to let Jerry talk about that right now, but it's not a good look for Cincinnati right now. But Blake Bortles is the guy I'm telling you to play, along with Jannard Robinson. JJJ Money, the floor is yours.
Floor is mine, and I'm talking about Jacksonville and Cincinnati, and in particular Cincinnati. Well. What do we have here? Giovanni Bernard is out with a hip pointer, and up comes the rookie that's been playing on a regular basis and splitting carries with Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill. And you can best believe that Jeremy Hill is going to carry the rock. Probably. He's going to carry the rock completely. Let me put it that way. Cedric Pierman is the backup, and he's not going to get too much of a taste of the rock in the passing game or the especially in the running game. That's going to be the Jeremy Hill show. So, fortunately or unfortunately, if you have Jeremy Hill, I can guarantee you will get some nice fantasy points, especially against the Jaguars. A warm weather team at the Jacksonville Jaguars going to play the Cincinnati Bengals, where the temperature and the weather has started to change for the cold type of cold weather teams being in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton plays quite well for the most part at home. He's not facing a division rival where he's inconsistent. He's facing the Jacksonville Jaguars. I understand the Jacksonville Jaguars have been playing better, but they're on the road. They're playing a, in my opinion, quite naturally, and in a lot of people's opinion, a superior team who's also supposed to be getting their star wide receiver back and maybe on a limited basis. There is no way in God's creation that Jacksonville will win this game. And if you have a Cincinnati Bengal offensive player on your team as a Jeremy Hill, as an A.J. Green, as a Mohamed Sanu, and even maybe their tight end, because Tyler Eifert is not back yet, Jermaine Gresham. You play him against the Jacksonville Jaguars because they actually, and I'll say it in plain English, suck. They're that bad. And I like all those players. You put them in there with confidence, sit back and watch them rack up the fantasy points against the Jacksonville Jaguars team that, like I said, been playing better, but not that much better against this team that plays very well at home.
Well, JT, one thing I'm going to say about that is I think Pierman is going to get his touches. He's the change of pace back. He'll be a third down back to spell Young or Hill, I'm sorry. And I think he's going to get a lot more touches than you think, but I can agree with you on that Cincinnati has an opportunity to do well in this game. But I think Jacksonville is going to be more competitive, which you're getting credit for. I'm not sure. Something's just telling me that. But you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to one great program on Monday night at 7 p.m. to see if what the master says today and on Sunday comes true. And you want to know what that show is? Here it is.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the master plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the extra point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on The Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
Now, that's one version. Personally, I like the third version. But, ladies and gentlemen, we got a bunch of great shows going on, and we got a lot of stuff happening. So believe you me, when FSP says we're going to get things done, we're going to get things done. What do you think about that commercial there, JT?
I like the voice.
Yeah, I did as well.
I really like the voice. Yeah, the voice reminds me of NFL films. I forget his name. Who used to?
Steve Sable.
Excuse me.
Steve Sable.
No, not Steve Sable. It was the announcer that used to narrate the films.
NFL. Yeah. I know you're talking about. I don't remember his name, but I know you're talking about. Yeah. Well, I got one that's a little bit more jazzed up that we'll probably play once I edit down. But, ladies and gentlemen, enough of our vanity showing how good we are and the people we know and things we do. Let's talk about another team that wants to show some love or show how good they are in the things they do, and that is the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, here's what's going to happen. We're going to hear from Mike Tomlin on how to stop the Baltimore Ravens running game. Then we're going to hear from Joe Flacco and how he feels it's important to shut that Heinz Field crowd down. And after that, JT and I are going to jump into the game. So sit back, relax, and let's see what Mike Tomlin has to say about stopping that running game.
They got a clearly defined division of labor at running back. I don't know that they had that when we played him in week two. Forsett is the guy. He's over 5 yards a carry. I think he's 5.5 yards a carry. He's a good zone scheme, bursty runner. He fits what it is they do. It looks like Tyler Farrell is really etching out a nice role for himself, particularly as a short yardage in red zone, a goal line like runner.
It's awesome to play in front of your home crowd and get all that excitement and really feel that. But there are times where it's almost just as good to go in there and play so good that you can silence people that really don't want to be silenced and aren't very good at holding their words. So it is a lot of fun.
So JT, Jim, when you hear what Mike Tomlin thinks needs to take place, they need to stop, force it, and limit the short yardage runs with Tyler Farrell, especially in the end zone and the red zone. We also heard Joe Flacco talk about how good it is to play at home and how good it is to silence a stadium such as Heinz Field, where they might be saying things they shouldn't be saying to them and keeping everybody quiet. Let's talk about this Sunday night game that's in prime time, and Pittsburgh is looking to repeat what they did to the Colts, put up 500 plus yards and 52 points. I'll take Pittsburgh. You'll take your team, Baltimore. I know you love Flacco. You go first.
Well, I don't love Joe Flacco, and this is a bitter rivalry that's been going back quite a few years. These two teams, quite naturally, in the same conference, same division. Do not like each other, and it's always classic football to watch these two teams because, for the most part, if I'm not mistaken, the statistic is that, it's like a 3-point difference on whoever wins this game. It's that close, so it's like either a field goal or whatever that totals up to 3 points. That these two teams are so competitive against each other year after year after year. Joe Flacco, in my opinion, he gave me Baltimore. It's not the type of player that plays well on the road. But you never know. I mean, he's one of these schizophrenic quarterbacks. There's a few of them in the league. I've pointed them out. But when we're talking about Baltimore, you never know what type of player you're going to get. Even in these tight division games, you don't know if you're going to get the good or the bad Joe Flacco. In my opinion, I know there's six quarterbacks on a bye. I would not play Joe Flacco in this game at all because of the simple fact he's on the road. He's going against a division rival, and these two teams know each other pretty well, and Joe Flacco can give you something that you don't want to as your starting quarterback in your fantasy team. Justin Forsett, Pittsburgh can be run on. Both these teams can be run on. Let me put it that way. Both these teams can be run on. I happen to own Forsett in a couple of leagues, and I absolutely love him this week. I think he can rack up some decent yardage. And, yes, Talaferro, if you're hurting for running back, there's nothing wrong with putting Talaferro in the flex position for the simple fact they split carries, and he happens to be, for the most part, the goal line back, even though I think it doesn't make a difference. Talaferro is the goal line back, and hopefully you can get him on your rosters. They have a favorable matchup going forward to the end of the season, and I see perhaps Talaferro taking over that lead dog role with Justin Forsett not being the most durable back, but he's doing his thing right now. Steve Smith, definitely good play in my opinion here. Torrey Smith is maybe a flex play at best. I don't trust Torrey Smith on here. And the other guy that may be a surprise here is the their tight end. He's a rookie, but in a Gary Kubiak offense that likes to do two tight end sets, Crockett Gilmore, even though he happens to have the dropsies of late, could be a sneaky play if you're looking for a tight end. With that being said, I like Pittsburgh at home to win this game, and it won't be by much.
Well, you know what? I like the fact you're talking about Talaferro being a guy that you can get in there, especially looking at a situation. Let's say somebody had Giovanni Bernard. We just talked about this game. And, you know, somebody else got Jeremy Hill. Well, Jerry says don't play Pyramid. And I'm in that situation. I am in that situation in a couple of my leagues. And I have Talaferro locked in as one of my running backs. He'll get you that garbage time. He'll get you the yards as well and probably a touchdown or two on the goal line. Remember, Pittsburgh's line, their front three, is not that good. Not that good at all. Brett Kiesel is the best guy there, and he's an older, in NFL terms, an old guy. And that secondary is not looking too good for Pittsburgh. So what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. If you have the Pittsburgh defense, do not play it. Do not play it. I think it's going to be a close game. It's never a blowout game between these two teams. Never. It's always a snot-nosed, bubble-blowing game. But I think if Flacco gets himself together and tries to attack that secondary, like Jerry said, Steve Smith should have a very good game. On the other side, Big Ben. Big Ben threw for 522 yards last week. I think he had five touchdowns.
Six.
He outscored
Six.
I apologize. I had him on my bench. He outscored my entire starting lineup that week, which was last week. I don't think I'm going to make that same mistake this week, even though I don't think he's going to do the same thing, mainly because my other quarterback's on a bye week, which is Aaron Rodgers. So I'm looking for Ben to have a good game here. Antonio Brown should get out there. He should get out there. Now, another guy, Marcus Wheaton. He has not been the best guy since preseason that everybody thought he was going to be, but I think he's still going to be a guy to step up and make some things happen. A guy like the guy from New Orleans. Can't remember right now.
Lance Moore.
Thank you. Lance Moore. A guy like Lance Moore has opportunity here to step up and be seen a little more. He did something last week. He wasn't great, but he provided some help last week. So, all in all, I think this is a very good matchup for Pittsburgh. Offensively, fantasy-wise, Le'Veon Bell should get over 100 yards. I don't know about Heath Miller being a big contributor like he was last week, but I do think that he can contribute in this game. I'm going to pick Pittsburgh to win the game and nail biter, just like JT18 and Money did. Let's go on to our next game, which is a game that I don't know what to call this. Tampa Bay takes on Cleveland. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give Jerry Cleveland, and I'll take Tampa Bay. I don't know what's going on with Tampa Bay. Here's another situation where a bye week is killing people that have Doug Martin. Six starting running backs are not available. Check that. Seven, Doug Martin's not playing. Eight, Giovanni Bernard. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is terrible. Bobby Rainey has been a better running back in this Tampa system than Doug Martin. I don't know if it's his knee, his ankle, his hamstring, his quad, whatever it is, Doug Martin has been a very, very big disappointment to me and a lot of people this year. But Bobby Rainey is going to get his opportunity. I know Jerry talked about a Chris Sims running back.
Charles Sims,
who's a rookie that might get a little bit more play. Well, he's definitely going to get a lot of play in this game. Bobby Rainey's a good guy, but he's not going to tote the rock 30 times. And unfortunately, Tampa Bay, for whatever reason, with all the weapons on offense they have, they can't get in a shootout with Cleveland. Even though Cleveland doesn't like to throw the ball that much. Glennon can't get the ball to Evans. He can't get the ball to Jackson. I don't know what's going on the offensive side of the ball. And the defense is one of the worst defenses in the NFL. It really is. To the point that I'm going to tell you, if you go to DraftKings or FanDuel, I sent out an invite for everybody to join me on FanDuel and DraftKings. I did it on my Twitter, which is my Twitter handle, Fantasy Sports and Pod. That's Fan, F-A-N, Sports, S-P-O-R-T-S, and A-N-D, P-O-L. I sent it out there to see if people would join us. Get Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer should light him up for his first 300-yard game this week. That's how bad Tampa's defense is. I'm not even going to tell you to play any of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers other than Bobby Rainey because I know he has to get the ball. Evans is hit or miss, and Jackson is the same. They're trying to shop Jackson. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you about Tampa Bay other than play whatever offense you got against them and play whatever defense you have against them. With that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Jerry as I'm picking Cleveland to go to 5-2 or 6-2.
All right. It's ironic to this weekend that two Florida teams, Jacksonville at Cincinnati and Tampa Bay at Cleveland, two Southern teams are playing two teams that are in the AFC North from Ohio. Cleveland, like Vic said, Brian, decent play. He's not a crazy play, but he's a decent play, especially when you're lacking six quarterbacks that are on byes on the teams. You play Ben Tate. No two ways about it. One of the worst rushing defenses is in Tampa Bay. You play Ben Tate. Now, I'm going to give you something on here that I do believe is going to make a difference, and the projection and what I think he's going to get is going to be probably – he's probably going to double what his projection is. Let me put it that way, in my opinion. Jordan Cameron is out. The tight end, the story tight end from the Cleveland Browns, he's out. And he may be out for a couple of games. Maybe week 11 he may be back, depending on how he recovers from this concussion again that he sustained. So I'm thinking that Miles Austin, I'm talking about Miles Austin, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, has played and gotten a lot more targets when Jordan Cameron was completely out of the game or limited. So I'm thinking Miles Austin is a sneaky play, and you probably can get him cheap in FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever you call him.
Yep.
You probably can get him cheap on a daily because the fact is he's not a known commodity. He's just someone that just another guy. But I think he'll do well against this horrible Tampa Bay defense, along with Andrew Hawkins, who I've been talking about forever. And some on some leagues, he's still sitting on the bench. Well, he shouldn't be, especially in PPR, because he's PPR gold. He's been, I think he's only had one or two bad weeks. So you got to play him. And with that being said, let me tell you who I like. Cleveland I like in this game. And I have to say something, like I've been touting this guy for the last 2 weeks. Charles Sims, third-round pick from the Tampa Bay. Lovie Smith and the hierarchy are not married to Bobby Rainey or Doug Martin because they were there before Lovie and them got there. They drafted this kid in the third round. They raving about this kid. I don't know how much of touches he's going to get tomorrow, but if you have room, I told you last week, I think I told you the week before, get him on your roster and see what happens because he may be the lead back in Tampa Bay. 6 feet, 200-something pounds. He's got the body. He can catch the ball. He can definitely run the ball. We'll see what happens if you put him on your bench and wait.
You done, JT?
I'm done.
All right. We're going to learn today. Let's move on to a game that is truly a game-time decision, and I don't know why the Cowboys are going to mess around with this after the Redskins totally disrupted everything. And they surprised me. I love my skin, but they totally surprised me by doing what they did to the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. You're talking about Arizona Cardinals versus Dallas Cowboys. I'll take Arizona. I'm going to give JT the Cowboys because he might have Brandon Weeden, a former Cleveland Brown quarterback, starting in that game. All right, ladies and gentlemen, look. Everybody thought Larry Fitzgerald was dead and gone. Thought he was dead and gone. Carson Palmer comes back. Larry Fitzgerald's numbers goes up. And who goes down? Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd has not seen that many targets as of late, and he's been dropping a lot of his targets. The emergence of the young rookie, Brown. Brown has stepped up and done a terrific job filling the void of Michael Floyd. I don't know if that's going to stay this way this week, but after watching what Colt McCoy and watching the Redskins offense did to the secondary of the Cowboys, it wasn't much. Colt almost had 300. But the fact that they were open, Fitzgerald and his receiving corps should have a great game. Now, Alfred Morris, he got 75 yards and a touchdown. Hey, Jay Gruden, nice job running the ball. But I think Andre Ellington and Stephon Edwards, they're going to run that ball, and they're going to catch the ball as well. It's going to be double trouble for the Dallas Cowboys in this game. Arizona has one loss the entire season, and that's to the Denver Broncos. And that is amazing. They are the second best team in the NFL right now. I think they're going to play like that against the Cowboys. I have Arizona winning big at Dallas, especially if Brandon Weedy plays. And also, do not be surprised. There are a lot of Arizona Cardinal fans. At this game. You play Carson Palmer in this game. You, of course, play Fitz. And give a flyer on Michael Floyd. Give a flyer on him. He might show up. You never know. But Andre Ellington and Stephon, those are two big plays in this game, in my opinion. JT.
Well, Stephon Taylor injured his calf, so he'll be out for 2 to 4 weeks. So he's not going to be playing. I just have to tell you that. I also have to tell you that I know I have Dallas, but I'll have to tell you this. Larry Fitzgerald has 160 yards and one score on seven catches versus the Eagles. And 2 weeks before that, it was 98 yards and a touchdown against your Redskins. Both games were at home. On the road, he's never scored or had more than 57 yards in any game. I like Michael Floyd. I really like Michael Floyd to make a comeback against the Dallas Cowboys in this. But I have the Dallas Cowboys, so I don't trust Tony Romo. I know that he's a gamer, but against that Arizona defense that's going to bring it, I think they've got a formula for from the Washington Redskins on how to slow down that Dallas offense. But if you have to, you got to play Tony Romo if he starts. But if it was me, I wouldn't play him. I'd sit him because the fact is there's always a possibility that one shot takes him out of the game, and then you have Brandon Whedon, and you got minimal points at the quarterback position on your fantasy team. With that being said, they're going to stick to the formula that they've been doing for the last eight games leading up to this game. Run the football, give DeMarco Murray the ball 20-something times. He gets over, gets his 100 yards or more and gets a touchdown. That's without a saying. That's a no-brainer. In my opinion, there's three no-brainers in here for the simple reason DeMarco Murray is a beast. You got to play him. He's one of the top two running backs in fantasy. You got to play him. Dez Bryant, same thing there. Dez Bryant's a beast, whether it's Brandon Whedon in there or Tony Romo. Dez Bryant has gone up against the best cornerbacks each week and has done his thing. So you got to play Dez Bryant. And the sleeper guy in here, but he's not really the sleeper. I think he scored the most touchdowns receiving more than Dez Bryant, is Terrence Williams. All the coverage rolls over to Dez Bryant because he's such a beast, leaves one-on-one to Terrence Williams, and he eats one-on-one coverage alive. So you got to play those three players, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, without a doubt. Jason Witten, you never know what you're going to get, whether a good game, bad game. He's not the same Jason Witten he was in the past. With that being said, along with the kicker that you've got to put in there because he's one of the best kickers in the league, one of the top three kickers in the league, Dan Bailey, the most accurate in the league, Dan Bailey. Dallas wins this, but it won't be easy.
Okay. I don't think Dallas is going to win the game. I really don't. But, again, this is our predictions and getting you guys ready for your betting process and stuff like that. On to another game where we're going to see the Philadelphia Eagles take on Jerry's Houston Texans in Houston. Jadeveon Clowney returns. He really didn't do much in the last game. He had spot duty. But their defense has been doing really well without him to begin with. Now, I'm going to tell you like this, ladies and gentlemen. How many games has it been, Jerry? Like seven games? They've played seven games or eight games so far? Eight games.
They've played eight games so far.
Yeah. In eight games, Arian Foster has rushed the ball 146 times after missing two games. So that means Arian Foster played in six games so far this year and has rushed the ball 146 times. I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to let Jerry talk about his Texans. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Foles can call this secondary apart. He isn't the wizard or the wonder kid that everybody thought he was going to be this year. Got it. But he's found a new friend in Jeremy Maclin to replace DeSean Jackson. He's getting the ball out to his tight end, Zach Ertz. He's doing a lot of different things to help this team stay competitive and win. And the defense, surprisingly, has been pretty daggone good. Let's put it this way. Nick Foles, Shady McCoy, and the return of Darren Sproles is a very, very big thing in this game. Especially Darren Sproles, as I believe he's going to make an impact on the special teams in this matchup as far as field position. that's coming back off of a knee injury, a sprained MCL or something like that. So they, I think he's going to be a little ginger with it. But Jeremy Maclin, 39 yards, 39 receptions, 632 yards, and 6 touchdowns. The closest guy in touchdowns and receptions is Zach Ertz, tight end, 24 for 354 and 2 touchdowns. Ladies and gentlemen, this fast-paced Philadelphia offense is fantasy gold, especially in this game. Shady's going to break 100 this week. Shady's going to break 100 and he's going to get in the end zone. He might even get in the end zone twice, one on the ground and one in the air. You play all of your Philadelphia Eagles in this game. Even Riley Cooper, especially when you got a lot of players on bye week, unless you have a better option. With that being said, JT, let's talk about your Houston Texans and how things aren't looking too good for the home team.
Okay. The Eagles have allowed one runner to top 100 yards, but they also have faced no top backs this year. Foster is a must-start without a doubt. He's going to get over his 100 yards and probably into the end zone a couple times. The Eagles are very weak against the pass. And for those who are missing a quarterback, this is 1 week I'm going to advise you to pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick and play him against the Eagles. He should have a better-than-average game. Both Hopkins and Johnson, in my opinion, are type of plays. I see DeAndre Hopkins having the better of the two wide receivers and getting into the end zone because he's a more explosive player right now at this stage of Andre Johnson's career and getting into the end zone. I see this game being pretty close than most people think, and I do believe Philly going up against that pass rush and going up against the weapons that Houston has will lose this game. Now, quite naturally, you're going to say I'm biased. Well, if I thought Houston was going to lose this game, I would definitely say it, but I do not think that. I think they rack up another win, giving them 5 wins compared to 4 losses. And I think the players I aforementioned are going to have decent days. I think Andre Johnson is not going to get any end zone. He is not an end zone guy. He's more of a catch and yardage guy. DeAndre Hopkins is the guy that gets into the end zone in a receiver position. That's all I got.
Too easy. Let's move on to the next game where we're going to see the New York Football Jets take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, listen, I'm not going to be mean to Jerry like I normally am. I'm going to take the Jets. I'll let him take the Jets. I'll take Kansas City. And since he's so excited about the Jets, you'll have first crack. Go right ahead.
Okay. First off, let me put it this way. Andy Reid used to be the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles when Michael Vick was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Knows Michael Vick very well. But this is what I'm telling you. This is probably one of my boldest picks for this week. Is the 6 weeks, 6 guys you don't have to play with. 6 notable quarterbacks that are sitting on the bench that you can't use. You're looking for a quarterback. You don't have one of these quarterbacks and you're searching this real bad for a quarterback. I'm telling you, put Michael Vick in your starting quarterback position. Running and throwing the ball. This is his chance. This is, I would say, his Super Bowl, but he's going up against his coach in Kansas City. I wouldn't say his career is on the line, but let me put it this way. I would say it. His career is on the line here. He's had some bad press about not being prepared. He's had some bad press about all of the terrible play that he's displayed up until this point. Put Michael Vick into the game, and you're going to be rewarded. He's going to find a way to get to the new toy in the receiver position in Percy Harvin. If you're missing a wide receiver, big play receiver is Percy Harvin. Michael Vick's got a big arm. I see big plays coming from then and a surprise play from the Jets. And I'm not because I'm a former Jet fan. Everybody has counted them out. These two guys, especially these two guys, have something to prove. They're going to try to prove it in Kansas City. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but these two guys in particular have a lot to prove and have a huge chip on their shoulder, and I think they're going to show what they can do in this game. I like Chris Ivory to not do too much in there. Two guys, I say, to play in this game, or three guys, Michael Vick, Percy Harvin, and their tight end that I can think can do a little bit against this and probably get into the end zone. I think Percy Harvin and Jace Amaro, the tight end, get into the end zone. That's all I got.
You got really excited for a second, like you about to jump back on that Jets bandwagon.
No, Vic, I get excited when I see in my gut, or I feel in my gut, that these are two guys that a lot of people are discounting. And if you notice, and I'm not going to go on a rant for too long, but if you notice, a lot of times when the so-called experts and the media happen either to downplay players or build the players up beyond recognition. Those ones that build up beyond recognition is a huge disappointment. Those ones that they discount and say that they're garbage rise up. And I got a gut feeling that's what's going to happen in this game. They're probably not going to win the game, but in fantasy-wise, I think these guys are going to get some good points for people who put them in their lineup.
Okay. So I should just drop Blake Broyles and pick up Michael Vick.
Excuse me?
Face you this. I should drop Blake Broyles and pick up Michael Vick to face you this week.
Well, let me ask you this. You laugh. Let me ask you this. Who do you think can make more dynamic plays, Blake Broyles or Michael Vick?
Oh, Michael Vick for sure. Especially since you pointed out with Percy Harvin. I like that, but I'm going to talk about Kansas City real quick on that. Kansas City's defense is not easy. They have two great DNs or outside linebackers in Tom Bailey and Houston, Chris Houston, that is. And then Mr. Berry is back in the secondary. Kansas City's secondary and defense is the crown jewel of that team. Let's be honest, they just are. The difference is Alex Smith is going to be asked to win this game because they're not going to be able to run against that New York Jets defense. Jamaal Charles and Miles Davis, very good running backs. Well, Jamaal Charles, exceptional. Miles Davis, good. But he's going to take a pounding going against that front five or front seven of the Jets. Depends on if they're going to play the Bear defense or not. I mean, if I were Rex Ryan, I'd play a Bear defense against Alex Smith because I know he can't throw it deep and over the top. Dwayne Bowe is a decent receiver out there, but he's been known to drop some balls from time to time. And Kalis, good tight end, but he's not the game breaker. There's nobody on the other side to help out. I'm seeing a tough go at home for Kansas City, just like Jerry's saying, because Michael Vick is a mobile quarterback who has developed a good touch on the ball. And if he can just get the ball in Percy Harvin's hands or Eric Decker's hands or Amaro's hands or Amos, I can't get his name right. I think it's Amos.
No, Amaro. You had it right, Amaro.
Amaro. And use that run game with Chris Ivory. That'll be great. Now, I know Chris Johnson is a little nicked up, but if he was in there with Michael Vick running the speed option, it would be something to look for. And I think the Jets are primed for upset. And I'm going to call for an upset. I think the Jets will win this game.
Wow.
Michael Vick will probably play out of his mind, only because I don't think Kansas City is going to be able to run the ball.
Now, Kansas City can't run the ball. Alex Smith will not win this game for him. But a guy I want you to look out for, ladies and gentlemen, is the Black Mamba, DeAndre Thomas. Look for the Black Mamba to – he only gets the ball maybe four or five times a game, but he does a lot of stuff with it. And they're going to need him a lot in some of the short stuff and some of the gadget stuff and to go deep because the secondary of the Jets is terrible. But Alex Smith will not be able to expose it because I don't think he has the arm or ability to do so. That being said, let's move on. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to hit one commercial. And when we come back, we're going to jump on the Miami game. You know, JTATM money. You know how you like them Dolphins, right?
No, I like the Chargers. I like the Chargers.
Well, I'll take the Chargers. You'll take Miami. All right, we'll talk about that in 40 seconds.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to join us.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're right back here at you. We're going to go through the rest of these games here. I jokingly said I was going to take San Diego and let Jerry take Miami. I'm going to acquiesce to the old guy, and I'm going to take Miami. I'll let him take San Diego. In this matchup, we got some problems, Miami. We've got some problems. I do like Jarvis Landry coming in and supplanting Brian Hartline. He's getting more and more targets, and he's doing actual things with those targets. It's opening up one-on-ones for Mike Wallace. And, yes, on the master plan, JTATM Money, along with Lance, the NFL Explorer Goodman, I told you about these guys, or this guy. And it's mainly Jerry doing it, but we'll talk about that later because I don't want to, you know, give him too big of a head. He already has one. But Jarvis Landry is the guy you got to play in this game. The reason why I say it is because Jason Verrett and Flowers, they're both nicked up. Flowers should be playing in this game, but Verrett may not be playing. And that's going to be somewhat bad for San Diego secondary. Eric Weller's going to have to do a lot of tackles. I'm not worried about Lamar Miller because I don't think Miller's going to have such a good game in this game. I'm going to be honest. I don't think he's going to be able to provide the type of impact that the Miami Dolphins need to win this game. It is at home in Miami. The difference is that Miami's expected to do well. When they're not expected to do well, and they do, it's a plus. But when Miami's expected to do well, they rarely perform. Rarely perform. With that being said, only person I can tell you playing this game, quite honestly, are Jarvis Landry, Mike Wallace, and that's about it. I like Clay. I like Charles Clay, but I don't like him going against this second the linebacking core. San Diego. Again, San Diego's secondary is nicked up, but their offense is clicking on all cylinders, and Ryan Matthews isn't even back yet. I believe Donald Brown's coming back this week, but I'm going to let Jerry Taylor talk about that. But how much time is he going to get with Brandon Oliver? I don't know. JT, the floor is yours.
All right. In this game, the Chargers, believe it or not, last year they lost to the to the Dolphins last year. Don't have a good record on the road. A 2-2 on the road, and they have they're on a 2-game losing streak. They lost to the Raiders, No, they didn't lose to the Raiders. I'm sorry. They didn't play well against the Raiders. And they lost against the Dolphins, but and they're 4-3. I like Phillip Rivers in, a lot in this game, even though this is a pretty good pass defense for the Dolphins. They sport one of the best pass defenses, and they're allowed only one score in every home game this year, with along with 200 yards or less. So, but I do like Phillip Rivers because he's been playing extremely well. He's an MVP candidate, in my opinion. Brandon Oliver is going up against a stiff running defense in the Dolphins, but I do believe he'll at least get into the end zone at least one time. Keenan Allen's been a disappointment. They have film on him now, and he's having troubles getting open, and that's why you see the uptick in production from Malcolm Floyd, who's healthy, and especially Antonio Gates, who I think is definitely going to get into the end zone, who's always been a favorite target, and he's healthy now. And along with that, because the Chargers can move the ball, I think Nick Novak will definitely be able to take advantage of that. So six kickers on a bye. Nick Novak is a definite good play against the Dolphins in sunny Florida. But who I like in this game? I like San Diego, even though they don't have a really good record playing the Dolphins. I still like them to break this two-game losing streak and walk away going back home with a win.
All right, JT, let's keep it moving. Let's go to Washington at Minnesota. Of course, I'm going to take the Redskins. I'm going to go ahead and let you take Minnesota and go first.
You want me to go first?
Yes, sir.
No problem. Minnesota. I know there's six quarterbacks on a bye. I know Teddy Bridgewater is playing this week. Do not play Teddy Bridgewater. No way, no how, no way I would do that. Now, I know that the Redskins have a decent run defense, but Jerick McKinnon has played against decent run defenses. He's scored over 100. He's had over 100 yards against a decent run defense, or a good run defense, in the Detroit Lions, total yardage, and against the Buffalo Bills. And those two teams are pretty stout against the run. Washington is another team that's stout against the run. But I think because McKinnon can do catch the ball and run the ball, I think he's going to have a double-digit fantasy day. So I would play Jerick McKinnon. Cordell Patterson and Greg Jennings, good luck. Cordell Patterson probably going to have the better of the two wide receivers, so I would definitely play him, but temper your expectations. The Redskins allow two or more passing touchdowns, but that would be a first for Teddy Bridgewater. So it's going to be a tough go with the pass rush that they're going to give on this rookie. I see him throwing at least one touchdown. I don't see him throwing any more than that. They're playing in Minnesota. Washington's coming off that division win against Dallas. They may be for a letdown. I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings in this game to surprise the Washington and the Robert Griffin III coming back. Going to be a little rusty, and I think they're going to try to rush the hell out of him, meaning Anthony Barr and company and Harrison Smith, and see what RG3 is about. I got Minnesota in an upset.
You also suck, so I don't care. But the Washington Redskins will win this game. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. This is an opportunity for a player such as Deshaun Jackson and Robert Griffin III to rekindle their cohesion, because for whatever reason, Cousins and McCoy were just under throw DeSean Jackson. He has a huge arm, a very huge arm. Now, will RG3 scramble around and be 100% like Jay Gruden says? I don't know. All I can say is they need to run Alfred Morris. That is the key to any of their success, running Alfred Morris all day. Now, I like Jared McKinnon in this game because the Redskins are a tough run defense, but it's something about these little shifty backs. For whatever reason, they can't really tackle them too well. Maybe a lot of screens to stop the pass rush of the Washington Redskins might slow them down. But Rashard Breeland, the rookie out of Clemson, is becoming a very, very, very good cornerback in his first year, especially with the news that D'Angelo Hall re-tore his ACL this week. He's done. He's not coming back anytime soon, but it'll be ready for 2015. But Rashard Breeland has got to step up again and for the remainder of the season and hopefully the playoffs. I'm not worried about the secondary or the defense of the Washington Redskins in this game as Kyle Rudolph is out, as Cordarrelle Patterson has only caught one touchdown pass against the Redskins, and that was last year. But that's all he's done, especially in this year. He has not been fruitful at all. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Minnesota, but I will say this. RG3 in the offense is way too much for that defense of Minnesota. Minnesota's offense, they need to do some gadget plays or whatever it is they need to do to loosen up the Washington Redskins defense. I believe that Jim Hassett's going to blitz, just like he did against the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. 13-0 coverage blitzes. 13. And that's dangerous going against Dez Bryant and the rest of those guys. When you got a rookie quarterback like that, it's time for him to just put it on Teddy Bridgewater. With that being said, of course, I'm going to pick my Washington Redskins. I think it's actually going to be a blowout. I think the Skins are going to blow them out because of the deep passes and the good runs of Alfred Morris setting up those deep passes. All right, JTATM Money, we've got about 12 minutes left alive there. We might go in overtime, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got four games to go over, so we're going to keep it moving. St. Louis goes to San Francisco. This is a pretty even game in my estimation. St. Louis always plays San Francisco tough at home as well as on the road. Last time these two teams played, it was a last-second pass at the end of the second quarter that changed the momentum. I think that's going to happen in this game. I think St. Louis is going to come out and put it on San Francisco because Colin Kaepernick may or may not be the guy to win games for San Francisco, but they need to give the ball to Frank Gore. And I don't see that happening. I see them trying to throw the ball a lot on St. Louis. But I'll give you San Francisco as I finish up St. Louis. Kenny Britt, now the number one guy, is probable. That brings up another guy that I told everybody about last year. For whatever reason, has not been used at all, is Tavon Austin. This kid is amazing. They need to find a way to get him the ball, especially with Brian Quick gone for the season and Kenny Britt not being too healthy, and he leads the league in drops again. Either that or Benny Cunningham, Trey Mason, and Zach Stacy are going to get the ball millions of times. I would say run the ball in this game. This is also a game where I would say play Austin Davis. He's a guy that can produce for you. Go ahead, JT. I'm going to pick St. Louis to win this game.
Wow. In San Francisco, no way, no how, yes. Not going to happen. I absolutely love Colin Kaepernick in this game. I think he's going to – I know he struggles. History tells that he struggles against St. Louis, seeing they have a formula against Colin Kaepernick. But somehow they pull this wing out. Well, this win out, and I see him throwing for about 250 yards and a couple touchdowns. Frank Gore is going to be lead back in this. They go back to running the football a little bit more. They're going to have a tough road to hoe, but I think he gets about 50, 60 yards and gets into the end zone. I like two guys in here that should do well, including the kicker, Phil Dawson. That's Anquan Boldin and Michael Crabtree. With that being said, I'll go in depth more tomorrow, but I see San Francisco winning this game.
Okay, let's move on. Let's do Denver, New England, because this is the last one before going to overtime. Denver goes to New England in a game of Manning versus Brady. I think it's the 30th meeting between the two, whatever. Peyton Manning taking a top-ranked offense into New England, where Tom Brady has found a way to turn it on. He and his team have turned it on, and they are clicking on all cylinders. I'll take Denver. I'll let you have New England and your boy Bill Belichick.
Thanks.
You're welcome. The problem here is Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis. They are going to lock up. I believe there's going to be a lot of man-to-man in this game. They're going to lock up one-on-one with Bebe. If you don't know who Bebe is, that's Demaryius Thomas and Sanders. I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to see a lot of Darrell Revis, and Bebe is going to see a lot of Brandon Browner because of a physical corner on a physical wide receiver and a finesse receiver versus a physical slash finesse cornerback with Darrell Revis and Sanders. That's the thing. Sanders is going to have to use his speed to beat him down the field. Devin McCourty is going to be busy at safety trying to cover everything. Now, what does that mean? That means that Ronnie Hillman and Thomas, the tight end, and Wes Welker should have the middle of the field to themselves pretty much. Now, Bill Belichick knows how to bring pressure on Peyton Manning and get him in bad situations. But I believe Wes Welker's out to prove a point. If you remember, when Bebe wasn't getting any looks, and then all of a sudden against the Super Bowl champions, he got featured. He got featured. Or it wasn't that game. It was a game after that, if I'm not mistaken. So I think it's Wes Welker's turn to get featured by Peyton Manning. I'm not saying go out there and get Wes Welker, but if you have him on your roster and you're in need of a receiver, especially with six teams out, Wes Welker might be somebody you want to take a chance on at the wide receiver position. I think he's going to get off and have a good game this game. Now, with that being said, I'm going to pick Denver to win this game. I'll let JT take over and talk about the New England Patriots.
Patriots been super, super hot. I mean, extremely hot. And it's no coincidence that the healthier Gronk has gotten, the better that the New England Patriots have been playing. Tom Brady is on fire with 12 touchdowns over the last three games. But it was against the Bills, Jets, and Bears. Just think about that. And only the Bills were on the road. With that being said, like I said, Rob Gronkowski is finally looking completely healthy and scary. He scored, a couple touchdowns last week. I see him scoring again this week. Tom Brady throwing for three touchdowns in this thing. Shane Vereen is the back to own, especially in PPR, because that's who Brady throws to. He's his Swiss Army knife in Shane Vereen. I don't see Julian Edelman against these secondary doing too much in this game. The two guys that have been benefiting the past game is LaFell and Gronkowski. Tomorrow I'm going to give you a sleeper in this game that I think is going to do well and surprise. And the statistics I'm going to give you are going to back it up in this game. Gronkowski, because of this offense, I think is going to be able to get in position to kick some field goals. But in this game, especially the field goal kicker, Don't look for any distance kicking because the winds are supposed to be up to 25 miles an hour in this game, which is going to greatly affect the kickers, especially long kicks. If they get between the 30 and perhaps 40 and maybe the max 45-yard line, he should be pretty effective. Anything past that, depending on what the wind is, and I'm thinking it's going to be 20, 25 miles an hour, that they won't be attempting any long kicks. So temper your expectations on Gostkowski, but on the other guys that I talked about, I think my number is going to be dead on there. And I like New England to win this.
Okay. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, before I do anything else, I just want to remind you some things. Normally I talk it out. Normally I say it. But, you know, I'm not going to say it this time. I'm going to let the radio voice do it.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the extra point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on the Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad that this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to join us.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, David?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, on Saturdays, you got me. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, along with JT, ATM Money, doing the FSP Show. And we are great at what we do. You're listening to it right now. Now, next week, I will not be here. Unfortunately, I have to work, and JT's Money is going to stand in for me and hold things down and get you ready for NFL Week 10. It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise. He's going to probably talk bad about me and, you know, say this is probably the best show ever and but that's okay. I'm going to allow him to do it because I can't do anything about it because I'll be working. But I will get him back the following week. Trust that. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go into overtime and finish up these last couple games. It's not going to take us long. But with that being said, come back next Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics. That's what we do. We discuss it, and we talk about things that go on in the world of sports. then on Monday, I mean Sunday, you got the master plan, and then on Tuesday you have, I mean Monday, I get my days mixed up, you've got Lance with NFL Exporter Extra Point. FSP Crew Show, stick to it. Spot on radio, that's what we do. We're now in overtime, and we're going to kill two birds with one stone as we talk about the Oakland Raiders taking on the Seattle Seahawks. JT. J-double-O-T.
Hey, what's up?
I'm going to give you Seattle, and I'm going to take Oakland. You go first.
All right. Russell Wilson definitely playing here. The defense of Oakland is absolutely horrible. They're 0-7. I think they're the only 0-7 team in the league. I can't see the things that have been going on in Seattle to affect them playing the Oakland Raiders, especially at home. They're going to get back to old school. What they do the best is running the football. Marshawn Lynch has been less productive, and in the last 3 weeks, never producing more than 62 yards and no touchdowns. I think they get rich and make them feel a little bit better going against the Oakland Raiders. Doug Baldwin is probably the number one wide receiver now. If you picked him up the last few weeks after Percy Harvin got, or you had him on your roster, then you're going to reap the rewards in this game. Russell Wilson is going to throw for a couple of touchdowns, and the Seattle Seahawks win this easy. That's all I got.
Okay, you okay? Sounds like you're losing your voice over there.
No, I just got a little frog in my throat. I'm fine. Keep it going.
Okay. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm going to tell you about this game. You got a great opportunity here to see the betterment of Oakland. They're going to go to Seattle. It's going to be tough for them to play. But MJD has turned into pretty much a I'm not a decent play guy. So that means the rookie is going to step in and get an opportunity to go ahead and get some snaps and run DMC's plays. Run DMC, Darren McFadden is going to run the ball. Will he be effective? I don't think he will be. But in the meantime, James Jones and that young wide receiver core, along with David Carr, are showing that they can play this game. It will be competitive. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I'm with Jerry. I think Seattle's going to win the game. However, this is a game, even though James Jones is the number one guy, he's not going to be matched up on Richard Sherman all game. I think, and a big receiver gives him a problem, by the way. If you look and saw what Kelvin Benjamin did versus Richard Sherman, James Jones is just about the same. He's a big guy that can go get the ball. I think he might come out and have a productive game for you, especially if he's your PPR. With that being said, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to go out there, ladies and gentlemen, and enjoy this game, because it's not going to be that many like it. I promise you that. Also, I want you to go out here and see that the Oakland Raiders have something to fight for. Their future is looking brighter. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I think they're going to make this a close game, maybe a 7-10-point game. Won't be a blowout, but I'm still picking Seattle. Last game, JJ, my last game of the week is Indianapolis going to the New York Giants. Rashad Jennings has been ruled out. Williams and Peyton Hillis are your running backs for this game. Victor Cruz is gone. Gonna look good for the Giants, but since you're in that area, I'm gonna give you the Giants, and I will take Indianapolis. All right. Here's the deal. Here's what we learned. Hakeem Nicks is a non-factor for the Indianapolis Colts. Even though he's coming home to the Giants to play them, he will not be a big producer. There was a rookie that stood out more so than he did last week.
And I don't think that Reggie Wayne's coming back this week. I'm not certain. But if he isn't, there's an opportunity for that rookie to step up again and do very well. Also, Amon Bradshaw, can't forget, where was he? He was a New York Football Giant. I think Bradshaw is going to have a good game going against that run defense of the Giants. It's just going to be tough for them to do much other than slow down Andrew Luck and that Indianapolis offense. Andrew Luck is a top-rated quarterback in the NFL, yards-wise, and he's doing pretty daggone good. And I think he's going to continue. He's not going to have to throw for 400 yards this week. But don't be surprised if Andrew Luck is pulled by midway point of the fourth quarter. That's how bad I think Indianapolis is going to beat the New York Giants. And it won't even be funny. T.Y. Hilton is going to have a great game. I think Kobe Fleener and maybe Dwayne Allen get in the end zone twice. But we'll see what happens there. JT, take your New York Football Giants.
Not my Giants, but I see this as a shootout. I really believe it. The Giants are originally going to try to throw the ball, but when Indianapolis starts scoring, in order to keep up, they're going to have to put the ball in the air. I absolutely love Odell Beckham in his game, Reuben Randall, and Larry Donnell. I think these guys are all going to be fantasy relevant. And with that being said, in a short week, of quarterbacks, I should say, Eli Manning is the viable play in here. I think he throws for at least a couple touchdowns and over 250 yards. I think Andre Williams is not going to do that well, even though people are going to put him in the lineup because of the need to have a running back in your position. I don't think he's going to be able to run that well. I know Indy is not that good against a run, but they're going to make Eli beat him versus running the ball, trying to keep the ball away from him in the offense. In this game, you know what? I still think Indy win this game, and I think they win it comfortably.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Okay, that was easy. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, JT and I are going to step away and enjoy the rest of our weekend. We hope we gave you some good information and insight. One thing I want to say Seattle game is this. You've got a team in Seattle that doesn't have its fullback, so Robert Turbin is playing fullback. That also means that Christian Michael is getting more and more opportunities as they prepare to set him up as their number one running back next year. Don't be surprised if Christian Michael out-touches Marshawn Lynch in this game, mainly because they won't need to have Marshawn in the game that much. But we'll see what happens. All right, JT, we're about to get up out of here. Anything you want to say to the people before we vamos ustedes and how bad I am and all that other stuff?
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to bad mouth you. I'm not going to bad mouth you. I just need that PayPal. But that's okay. It's no problem. Good luck tomorrow in your fantasy games. I think I'm playing you one of them at least.
Yes. Yes, you are.
And you're going to get ballywhopped. But that's okay. It's expected. It's not a big deal.
It's expected? Okay.
It is what it is. I need to get some wins here. Looks like I won't repeat in one of our leagues because of some unfortunate circumstances. But it is what it is. Sometimes you catch a nut and sometimes you lose it. So. With that being said, it's on you, my man. If you stop by tomorrow, good. If you don't stop by tomorrow, that's good, too.
All right. So, guys, ladies and gentlemen, I love you all. I'll see you in a couple weeks. JT, don't ruin my show. We are out of here.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble! You wanna talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports,